the bride. It's time to be holy and pure.
Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Show, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy. Today, we are going to start a series that will last about 9 to 12 weeks on the providential history of Jamestown. Now, what's interesting is I started to write about this and research it back in 1993 to 96, and I had some articles published in a magazine. And what started it was the Pocahontas movie came out, and I was shocked to find that the history, even the Christian history textbooks, etc., were incorrect. And so I went on to a three-year path of studying and consuming hundreds of books on the time period of Pocahontas and Jamestown and everything that went around in that time period. So this is what got me on it. And the Father just put a hook in my jaw because he showed me how history was rewritten, which is his story, and how I got an offense for the Lord because the truth wasn't being told about what he did and what he did through his people. So this is the start of it. Some of it I'm going to be reading from the articles, and some of it I will be discussing. So this will be part one, and part one is the purpose of his story. Remembrance. Remembrance is the key word. That is going to be what we're going to cover today. Now in Hebrew, remembrance, which is the purpose of history, is the Hebrew word zakar. That's Hebrews 21:42 in your Strong's, if you're looking that up. And this word, H2142, in this form, is found 231 times in the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament. Of course, you will find it in the New Testament with remembrance, remember, etc. But one thing I want to point out to you is that to remember or to zakar is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. It's commanding you to remember, to zakar. When we look at the word, it has a zayin, the Hebrew letter zayin, and it has a Hebrew letter kaf and a Hebrew letter resh. So from the zayin we get the z, the kaf we get the k, and the resh, rosh is the head, is the r sound. So we say zakar. This is also where we get the word Zechariah, Zechariah, which means Yahweh remembers. And that is denoted in that name, Zechariah. Now, when we look at the zayin, it is a tool that's for using to cut, to plow the fields, and to nourish. Because when you plow the fields, you're getting food, you're getting nourishment. Because when you plant the seed and you walk in the word and obedience to Yah, Yahweh, Elohim, then you are reaping a harvest. And then we have the resh, which is the head or the beginning. And when we look at that resh, we can also think of the mind. So in a way, we can also say that zakar is like plowing or planting the seeds of faith, the seeds from the Aleph to the Tav, all the letters of the ancient Hebrew language, and which was used in Amar or Debar when creating the heavens and the earth in Genesis. So another way of looking at this is it can also refer to a memorial or a male as in a man, because it was the man or the male who is charged with passing down to his family his story, Yah's story, Yahweh's story. And Yahweh, or his name, or Yahuwah, however you want to pronounce that, is really about the Shem in Hebrew. Shem, you know, a lot of people say Hashem. It is the name. And when we break apart Hashem Shem, we're looking at letters in the ancient Hebrew that basically denote, when you study it out, it's not, in my opinion, so much about how you pronounce his name, but what does that really mean? And the name, or the Shem, is really the power, character, and authority of our Creator. I have part one and part two, probably about 10,000 words article, on his name is in Shemin. Now, here at Remnant Remedy, I am an artisan, Bible-based aromatherapist. I'm also a biblical health coach. And so you'll hear a lot of references to aroma or smell or natural health. And so we see, we call oil is Shemin. Olive oil would be a particular Hebrew word for olive, but it would include the word Shemin. A lot of times when I refer to essential oils, which are distilled oils usually, I will call them Shemin. So we have pure Shemin or pure oil. But what's important, if you can get a chance to read that article, is go to remnantremedy.com and go down till you see articles. Click on articles, and you will find articles, and it's called His Name is in Shemin, Part 1, and His Name is in Shemin, Part 2. I really encourage you to see the root of that word, what it really means, how it relates to the Holy Spirit, how it relates to the witnesses, and how it really relates to His power, character, and authority, and how we need to be walking in that, and wherever His presence is. And always remember, here at Remnant Radio and Remnant Remedy, we are always talking about living and learning a restoration lifestyle and restoring the temple, restoring the Living Stones temple, because we are the Living Stones. Originally in the garden and in the future, it is all about Yahweh and His name, His power, character, and authority being with His people individually and corporately, that His power resides in us. And that is how we will be known. And that is what we're waiting for, is the restoration, not just of a physical temple, but as the scripture says, at the time of the full restoration, there is no temple. For we are the temple. He indwells within us. And we have that. So that's, you know, you can learn that through your Torah studies. Okay, so the father passes it down. He's supposed to tell his children either verbally or in written form to record the accounts and acts of Yahweh, Elohim, the forefathers, and what he has done. So what we have to do is really think about history or zikar or remembrance as a commandment of what Yahweh will do, what he has done, what he will do, and what he is presently doing in our lives. And if we think about the world situation that we're in right now, we need to keep this in mind. Okay? He is preparing us, he has prepared us, and he will walk us through. So we need to think about what he has done for us as an individual and corporately for his bride, what he is doing, and what he will do. And so that's, I think, the most important thing is how we are going to apply that to today. So basically now I'm going to read to you the original article that I wrote. And what I find quite fascinating is that in 1996, I wrote this first article, and yet the principles and the concepts here still apply, if not more, to us today. Remembrance. The purpose of his story. What is the purpose of his story, and why is it so important? I refer to history as his story so that we may not lose perspective of his marvelous works and be tempted to make history a generic term, lest we forget his providential hand. Providence being the act of him providing for and preparing his bride individually and corporately for future use in the advancement of the kingdom of heaven, for his glory and for the anticipated wedding with Yeshua, Jesus Christ. A godly heritage refers to God's people, Elohim, those claimed by him and the subjects of his care. We are his heritage. It is an awesome thought that he chose us. Think about that. That he opened your eyes to see and gave you ears to hear and a heart to perceive. And that is surely what we need in this day and age. Remembrance, or remembering his story, is important to the corporate body of Christ as well as to the individual. Is not our faith dependent on remembering what Yeshua, Jesus, did on the cross? Is not our hope dependent upon remembering his promised return? The word remember, in various forms, appears over 265 times in Scripture, 231 times in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. We can acquire wisdom and build our faith by reading Scripture and the personal accounts of his story. Are you presently facing seemingly insurmountable odds? Think back to the past. Remember how he brought you through when it seemed impossible through all the trials and the mountains set before you? He may not have brought you through the way you thought he should have, but he did do it in a way that was best for you, for your eternal position and condition. Have you realized that he cares for you and knows you better than you do? Do you thank him that you don't have to rely on your own understanding? Events of your past are foundational stones for your faith to face the future. Your past was his story in the making, and this present moment is his story being played out for his purposes and for your eternal good. Yahweh rebuked his people to the point of forgetting their children because they had forgotten his laws, his Torah, and his truth. I don't know about you, but as a mother, I certainly don't want Yahweh to forget my children. I would rather that he forsake me as long as he remembers my children. I take Scripture seriously when it states that the sins of the parents are visited amongst our children to the third and fourth generation, and yet it goes to thousands for those who love him and serve him. This definitely gives me incentive to walk the talk and search my heart for any wickedness. I pray the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth are acceptable in his sight. Psalm 19:14. I challenge you to read Scripture referring to the word remember, and see for yourself the consequences of forgetting his marvelous works that he performed and what he foretold us that he would do. To read, one must have written. In Genesis, we see the origin of writing when Yahweh Elohim set a mark upon Cain lest any man finding him should kill him. Throughout Scripture, writing is for the purpose of recording, to bring us into remembrance of what he has done or will do. Our future lies in the fact that Yahweh does not remember our sins because of the blood of the Lamb and his remembering and writing us into the book of life. Writing, the recording of his story, gives us hope and confidence for our present pilgrimage. The written word enables us to memorize Yahweh's word for the purpose of hiding it in our hearts so that we may not sin against him. Where does his story take place? Where is the stage for man to act out his story? Earth. Yahweh himself formed the earth and made it not in vain, but he formed it to be inhabited, as he tells us in Isaiah 45:18. To remember his story requires us to study geography. Geo, relating to the earth, and graphy, as in to writing. He formed or wrote, in a sense, the formation of the earth. every subject on earth was created by Yahweh and his origin and purpose in him and is all part of history, his story. For him, all things were created. For by him, all things were created. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16. I assert that we remember history or his story in the individual lives of his people from Genesis up until the present day. That we search out the truth about his people from his people as the Bereans search scripture. This means we don't just take what is given to us on the internet or the news or even in history books or Christian history books, because many or most of them have been rewritten or recopied from history that was written by those who did not have a perspective, did not belong to the living Elohim, did not have the wisdom, and either accidentally, ignorantly, or on purpose rewrote our history. So we should be looking at primary documents and secondary documents whenever possible. Primary being original documents written about or from, the people or people in that time period. So a primary document would be like the writings of George Washington. And secondary documents would be what other people in that time period said about him, about his character, whether it was good or was it bad, history, governmental reports, etc. You know, for instance, we have Josephus who wrote about things in biblical times and times that we have records in the scriptures, but we also have records that correlate to them. Okay, so we want to know, we don't want to be lazy. We really need to dig out the wells for ourselves. We need to throw off our slothfulness and thought and reasoning and discover for ourselves what is truth and how that truth operated in individuals' lives. And here in this country, our history has been completely rewritten. I have personally gone to Jamestown and I've gone to the Pilgrim Town, Plymouth, and after studying and reading and writing all these primary documents, I saw the history was rewritten. There's even books out there about how it's totally been rewritten. So we have the challenge to present, or we need to challenge present-day historians and read the writings by the person we are bringing into remembrance or by those who knew that person. Failure to diligently remember or zakar and search out our godly heritage has allowed the world and believers, Christians, believers, unknowingly to rewrite his history or his story, thus committing the sin of bearing false witness against our living Elohim and his people. We must remember where and how he brought us out of Egypt or the world or sin. Our country is reaping havoc for losing the art of remembrance. Now, again, this was written in 1996. How much more so is it important today that we are seeing what has happened and is happening when our story in this country as believers and every believer in every country is being rewritten? We are lost and without a purpose for not knowing our inheritance, not only in our country, but more and beyond that as believers, as the grafted in or the branches of the house of Israel, because all believers are part of the house or the bride Israel to the living Elohim. We must ignite the fire to want to know where Yahweh has brought us from, how we got here, and what his purpose for us as individuals and as the nation that we're in until we're regathered for the end times nation of his people. Some call it the greater Exodus that is in the scriptures when you know what you're looking for and start digging. I endeavor to unfold before your eyes in the following weeks that throughout history, no plan of God has ever been thwarted. Job 42:2. His story was, is, and will be fulfilled in our lives, the lives of individuals and nations, while simultaneously in the body of Christ to accomplish His purpose for His glory. He sees the forest while we only see and are the trees. In aromatherapy, when I do custom blending and teaching for artisans, I teach how the scriptures show us that we are like trees, and there are different parts of the tree that get distilled into essential oils that help us know what part or oil to use based on what part it's from, because there's this parallel between us and the trees, even when it comes to the natural medicine that He gives us. So He sees the forest, we only see and are the trees. Yahweh always provides and prepares as He guides each of His people before the events of history or His story for the furtherance of the gospel of the kingdom of Yeshua in every nation. My prayer will be that you and your children will be struck with awe at His marvelous deeds and be encouraged in faith to face the days to come and occupy until His imminent return. I want to leave you with a verse where the word remembrance or zikar occurs. And it is in Zechariah chapter 10, which is about the restoration for Judah and Israel. And we'll start with Zechariah or Zechariah 10, verse 6. And He says, Yahweh, I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am Yahweh, their Elohim, and will hear them. He's going to remember us. Remember, He gave us the rainbow. And there's a whole lot to that about the remembrance of that bow in the sky, the collection of the light. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in Yahweh Elohim. I will hiss for them, and I will gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and I shall remember, I shall zikar and do, wherever they are in faraway countries. And they will live with their children, and they will turn or make teshuvah again. They will turn back to Me and My covenant. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. And place shall not be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the valley shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down. For they won't be found, but My people will be, is what He's telling us. And the scepter of Egypt or the world shall depart. And I will strengthen them in Yahweh, and they shall walk upon or up and down in His name, My name, He's saying, which is My power, My character, and My authority. And when we look at name, we're looking at Shem, Hashem. And that is also the root of the word Shema. Listen, hear, and obey, O Israel, the number one commandment. He says, I will strengthen them. Remember what He's going to do in these days as we struggle in the birth pains. He will strengthen us, and we shall walk up in His name, in His power, character, and authority. Not just how you pronounce it, not just whether or not you know it, for we worship Him in spirit and in truth, says Yahweh. Thank you, and we will continue next time with part 2 on A Warrior with a Pen. May your garments always be white, and may your head lack no shimmin'.